This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. And not just hour two of any ordinary Thursday. Today is the first day of a new month. It is August 1st, 2024. College football will be played this month. Ooh. And a National Football League game will be played tonight. The Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, between the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. Oh, it's preseason. It's an exhibition game. It doesn't even matter. Chicago has three more games after. So do the Houston Texans. C.J. Stroud's not playing. Caleb Williams isn't playing. It does not matter. It is football, and it is back. Donnie, take the floor.
All right, you want a story now? You want a good story about what happened to your boy DRS this morning, how excited I am? And I've been telling you for a while, Ben, like, I've always been a dyed-in college football guy. Love college football. Hey, man, yep. I play college football, you know what I mean? So I got to like college football.
100%.
But
pedigree.
Over the past couple of years, you know, sometimes you have to shift the focus. Family matters, kids on soccer fields on Saturday, they take precedent because really Saturday is my only day off during the football season. But I said, you know what? I can't wait for this year because I truly believe this honestly is going to be the best college football season we have ever seen because it's going to be an NFL style. Hey, if my team lost early, we still got a legitimate chance of this thing. And yes, the teams that are hot at the end of the season, sneaking into that top 12, maybe can make a run. But I went and said, you know what? First time in a couple years, Ben, I need to go out and get a couple magazines here. I need to like prep college football. I want to take a look at a couple things. I mean, you know, head down the shore for the beach. I want that beach reading to get excited. What are my Hurricanes doing here? You know, the shifting of all of the conferences. But I just want to like, and I'm not the guy that's like, let me download it on my computer or my laptop here or something like that and read it. I need the physical, you know, magazine in my hand. So I ordered. I'm excited. I get the email back. It's going to be on its way. They sent it to my old address, so there you go. So strike one against your boy DRS today. Maybe I have to do another order here and run out. But that just tells you, like, for me to actually go and order magazines for college football tells you how sincere I think this college football season is going to be, and I want to be ready for it here before game number one, only to see it going to another address, kind of hit the damper button this morning.
I mean, you just had me so fired up that my good friend DRS, Donnie Wrightside, had ordered preseason college football magazine reading, which is one of my favorite things to do. Phil Steele's magazine to get you ready for a new college football season is my Bible. It is sacred to me. Pick Six Previews just sent me their preview for 2024 to dive into the numbers, to look at returning roster production, to see the schedules and how everything shakes out. It is what I love to do come August in the final 3 weeks before a college football season. You had me going. And then you tampered expectation a little bit. Can I ask, was it your mistake? Or was it the shipping process to blame?
Well, because the magazines that I ordered here, when I used to get them, they pre-fill in. So, you know, your credit card, you just say, okay, bang, it's in. You see the billing address. But I didn't scroll down to see them. Like, it's been a while. Like, I've been in my new place for, what, 2.5 years at this point. So I didn't even think to check that. So when I sent the email, and also sent an email response, as soon as I was like, oh, no, I saw it come back. Hey, can you please change this? And then only get an email like 5 minutes later, which, again, is an auto response in the morning. Can you guys make this change? Congratulations, it's shipping. I'm like, yeah, congratulations to whoever lived in my previous house. They're going to love college football this year, my parents.
Maybe they're getting fired up for college football, too, and you are doing yeoman's work by getting more people excited for CFP. Donnie Wrightside, a good guy. All right, Hall of Fame game tonight in Canton, Ohio. We get it. It is the first preseason game of the year. It is going to be sloppy. You are not going to see any of the stars or even the starters that you know on either side. It will not be Stephon Diggs' debut in a Texans uniform. We are not going to see the reigning offensive rookie of the year in C.J. Stroud or the number one overall pick this past April in Caleb Williams for the Bears. But that's okay. The guys on the field, this game matters more than anything. For the organizations and the teams as a whole, it is your first practice run to make sure that you are ready for a season. To the coaching staffs, DeMeco Ryans, Matt Eberflus, back for year three in the Windy City, they are going to take this game very, very seriously. The Texans, a short 1.5-point favorite, minus 130 on the money line. Chicago on the other side, plus 110, a measly total. As you might expect in the Hall of Fame game, the over-under, 31.5. Donnie, I get a little nervous to ask you this question. Where does your handicap start for the Hall of Fame game? Because I feel like you might reply, I'm not going to handicap the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, there's no handicap really in the preseason for me.
No,
and, you know, my stance has basically softened over the past couple of years. But, you know, in my other life, I was one of those guys that would get on Twitter and say, you idiot, if you're betting this. Because, and honestly, it's true. Now, there are trends you can go off of that people use, and some people really enjoy betting preseason. I get that. And that's all fine and good if that's what you like. But if it's like a Major League Baseball game, you know, you got to put in the time and the work and get those numbers to work. How about if we came on this program and you said, Donnie, take a look at the game tonight. Phillies and Yankees, what do you think? I go, Ben, I love this game. It's going to work out. And you say, well, okay, what's the pitching matchups? Ben, I don't know what the pitching matchups are. All right, Donnie, what's the 1-9? Like, who can you expect to get an RBI? Ben, I have no idea who's going to be in the lineup. But you know what? Phillies at a minus 116 price and go over the 7.5. That's what I like tonight, despite not knowing a single damn thing about what's going to take place in the game. That's preseason football in a nutshell. Now, the only thing I can counter that with, Ben, is when the Baltimore Ravens play, it might as well be the Super Bowl. Preseason, regular season, postseason, whenever, street football, that team takes it seriously. When there's a clock and a score, they want to win at all costs. But I don't have any theories here in preseason other than this coach takes preseason serious. Outside of that, how do you handicap a game where you have no idea who's playing in that football game? It's hard to do.
And when the preseason fully gets underway, we'll let you know about the Flock's 24-game preseason win streak dating back to 2016. So what we can expect is to see a lot of those reserves tonight in Canton that are battling for a roster spot. And this is their extra opportunity on top of the three preseason games to follow, where we will see C.J. Stroud for Houston and probably Steph Diggs and some of the other acquisitions the Texans have made this year. And we will see Caleb Williams be under center and take snaps for the Bears this preseason, just not tonight. Tyson Bagent probably going to start at quarterback for Chicago. The long-necked man himself, Davis Mills, on the other side for Houston. There is some talent when you look up this roster. Juice Herbert, Khalil Herbert, probably going to play tonight for Chicago. Roschon Johnson, probably going to get some runs, the big back for the Bears as well. Never forget 2 years ago in the Hall of Fame game, we're entering the final year of his contract. Josh Jacobs was out there for most of the opening half in Las Vegas, and Josh McDaniels was making him run up the gut 10, 15 times in the opening half. That's a coach that is supremely motivated. A couple of trends to know, at least when you see that total of 31.5. It makes me very happy to see, of course, as a fan of Big Ten football. In the last decade of Hall of Fame games, the last 10 Hall of Fame games, five times we've been over this number, five times under. The last 2 years, though, we've seen an uptick in scoring, 38 points and 37 points. The last time that both teams reached the 20-point benchmark, that was 2013. It's just 1.5. It's not the starters, but just to share, Houston not great as a favorite last year, just 3-5 against the number. The Bears 6-1-1 against the spread, booked as an underdog in 13 of 17 games.
By the way, am I wrong to think tonight, Ben, we might have a little bit of mayhem in special teams? Am I wrong to think tonight that we might have a kick six tonight, a return, maybe multiple big returns? Because you have to keep in mind, These guys are practicing it technically in training camps right now, but this is the first real dress rehearsal that these two teams are going to get a look at what the special team looks like. And quite frankly, they're not kicking the ball into the end zone. So if we get at least a couple scoring drives, we're going to get maybe 6 to 7 kickoffs tonight. I think one might go to the house tonight, Ben. How about that?
The new kickoff rules, that's probably the main thing that everybody is focused on tonight, from the opening kick and hopefully the many more that we will see. We'll also talk preseason expectations for both the Texans and the Bears next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so the Hall of Fame game tonight in Canton, Ohio. No, we're not going to see C.J. Stroud for Houston or Caleb Williams for Chicago, but the guys will be there later in the preseason and, of course, to start 2024. Let's talk about expectations for both of the teams that face off tonight at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Houston, of course, is the optimistic team to pay attention to in the AFC. A double-digit win season, a divisional championship in the rookie campaign of both their head coach, DeMeco Ryans, and their quarterback, C.J. Stroud. He won Offensive Rookie of the Year. And now the Texans, after making some acquisitions and some beneficial maneuvers this offseason, are the team to beat in the AFC South. The favorites at plus 105. A win total of 9 in a hook. The over has the hefty juice at minus 150. Favorite at greater than a $2 price to be a postseason team. Let's start with Houston, then we'll get to Chicago. Donnie, the question is not, are you optimistic about the Texans? It's, do you think the Texans will match those optimistic expectations?
And we talked about this a little bit previous, because when you're looking at the Houston Texans, based off of what you saw last year, the ship is supposed to continually be going up at this point. And the reason I say that is you had a young rookie quarterback. You're supposed to take your lumps as a rookie. He didn't take his lumps. He was giving out lumps last year as the Houston Texans quarterback. This team won double-digit games. This team was winning big games down the stretch to win divisions. This team was going into the playoffs and winning playoff games. So you certainly expect the extension here of this team to say, you know what? Better. That means 11 wins. That means 12 wins. Yeah. That means, of course, we're going to win this division, but that is a lot because the NFL is built on parity. When you're a good football team, they give you a less draft pick and also on top of that, a tougher schedule. And also, as I said, defensive coordinators are a pretty sharp crew. They're going to see last year and say, I have X amount of games and plays to see what C.J. Stroud really did well. Let me spend this entire offseason like the defensive coordinators in that division will do. What can we take away? But I love the fact that Houston didn't rest on their laurels. Hey, look, young rookie head coach here, everything worked out well. We're just going to continue to build for the future, not make big changes. You get a great defensive end in there as a high-priced free agent. Also, on top of that, what do? You add one of the better wide receivers over the past 5 years in the NFL to that already talented wide receiving crew. You have all the makings of a really good football team. And the thing I like best as well is you don't leave out the running game. You might say that Mixon may have lost a step, and all running backs do after a couple years of being the lead dog. But you want to talk about a guy that you can trust in a moment to pick up a blitz who's been there, done that? I absolutely love every single move Houston made. So unless I'm just being contrarian, and you see that team total at 9.5 and say, that doesn't make sense. They won 10 last year. I expect them to be better this year, which equates to more wins. I hear you on that. It is contrarian to go under, but you can't get, like, I'm not going to be that guy that goes, you know what? Let me just give out a hot take before the season. I think Houston's going to stink. They're going to win 7 games. Then when they win 13, nobody remembers it because it's like, hey, it's just, he's throwing it out there. But at the end, oh, I told you they would be a bad team. I can't sit here and do that. Would I like to do that? Yes, but I'm not just a hot take artist to put vibes out there. I'm real high on Houston. Yeah. What has shown you that they should have a double-digit season this year?
Completely agree, Donnie. The AFC South the last 2 years has been an intriguing division because you had teams expected to dominate and early in the year did. 2 years ago, the Tennessee Titans were 7-4 in command of that divisional race. They lost their final 6 games. The Jags come out of nowhere in year number 2 under Trevor Lawrence. They win the division. They win the playoff game in that dramatic comeback over the LA Chargers. Jacksonville was the team to beat entering last year. 8-3 to start. start through week 12. Trevor Lawrence gets banged up. They drop five of their final six. Houston comes out of nowhere, knocking off a good Indianapolis team to take the division. There were three of four teams in this division that had a winning record last year. The Texans, the champs, the Colts, and the Jaguars, despite the season-ending struggles. This year, I don't expect it to be a team collapsing. I think it's going to be a competitive race down to the wire between Houston, Jacksonville, and maybe Indianapolis. A little bit more uncertainty with Anthony Richardson in his de facto rookie season. But I do think Houston is a double-digit win football team contending for the divisional title. Beyond that, can they actually contend with the big boys in the AFC? That remains to be seen. Are the Chicago Bears a playoff team? 8.5 the win total for Caleb Williams. He's a rookie quarterback, but he's a rookie quarterback surrounded by talent and a strong defense that led the Bears to 5 wins in their final 7 games last year. That's the expectation in the Windy City. Not, hey, Rook, go out there and maybe we'll win 6, 7, 8 games. Hey, Rook, go out there. We better be 500 with a winning record, and we sure should earn an NFC wildcard spot.
And here's the funny thing about this, which is great that they're matching up in this game, because there's a lot of parallels between these two franchises. And I'm not just talking about the players itself on the field. How about just the one position at quarterback? We were always led to believe that you have a bad football team, which is why you get that number one overall pick. The Bears not necessarily were a great football team, but they weren't the worst team in the league. They made a shrewd trade the year before, which allowed them to get that number one overall pick, which means they had the semblance of some decent players and won some football games last year. And it's not a complete regime change. But I think we were spoiled last year with C.J. Stroud of how well he performed as basically a top three, top two draft pick in the NFL last year, which the expectations now Caleb Williams are, oh, I just watched C.J. Stroud do this. Of course we should see an MVP-like chance here for Caleb Williams this year, but also I love this as well. You're heading into a football season, and teams, the Houston Texans did it, obviously the Philadelphia Eagles are doing it here, and you take a look at the Chicago Bears. Why would you say to yourself, let me get a young quarterback and let you see if he can grow and then analyze at the end of his first or second year? You did that with Justin Fields. It didn't work. But you know what? You're not making that mistake again. I'm going to surround him with as much talent as I possibly can so he can hit the ground running and make good decisions and get into great tendencies right off the bat. More Allen, Odunze, and Swift. That's the skill positions around this quarterback who, coming into it, we saw years away. Tank for this kid. He is going to be a dominant professional athlete. So the Chicago Bears and their fans, they should be sky high right now, because their organization did their young quarterback right by saying, I don't just want you to go out there and win it by yourself. We'll see in a couple years. Let's go out and get you that talent so you can win right away. So it's a great matchup tonight and intriguing, because great quarterback last year as a rookie. We're expecting greatness, the same thing out of Caleb Williams this year as a rookie.
4,108 passing yards for C.J. Stroud last year. His prop this year, not much higher than that with more offensive pieces. Here is my favorite stat for Caleb Williams. That season-long passing yards prop continues to rise, now at 3,500 and a hook. If he goes over that number, it will be the fifth most passing yards in a single season in Chicago franchise history. High expectations from the very start. More news around the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On this first day of August, where we have our first preseason game of the year in the NFL, some news and notes around training camp. The contract extensions continue to come in Tampa. Tristan Wirfs, after 4 years in the National Football League with the Buccaneers, is now the highest paid offensive lineman in the history of the NFL, signing a 5-year, $140.63 million contract extension on this Thursday morning. That includes more than $88 million guaranteed. $140 million plus for the left tackle and the blindside blocker for the Bucs. He has been illustrious in his 4-year NFL career to start. The Bucs are banking on that for many more years to come.
That's what you got to do, man. Protect the guys that protect your most important product, and that is your quarterback here. I think Baker Mayfield's cheering on this extension where Tristan Wirfs is now happy he got that major extension. Of course he is. And also, shout out to people that were like, massive overpay at this point. He's not even the best tackle. No, he's the next tackle that's eligible for an extension that you're going to not kick down the can and cost yourself more money. Now, as we look at deals like this and say, that's great for the Buccaneers. They got their guy lined up for a long time. Do you know right now, probably, if they don't smoke, went out to the store and got a pack of Marlboro Lights right now? That's John Lynch of the San Francisco 49ers, who actually has the best left tackle in football going. I want a new contract. Then he sees this, probably resets that market. That's a tough scene, which, again, word to the wise. The minute your star player says, I need an extension, just give it to him here, because if you wait even days, it's going to cost you that much more money. Tough scene out there for the 49ers.
John Lynch does not strike me as a Marlboro Red guy, but who knows exactly what he's going to be doing. Worse, if not the best offensive tackle in the National Football League, is becoming that. Started his first 3 years in Tampa on the right side, switched to the left side last year. He's made it to three consecutive Pro Bowls. He was a first-team All-Pro in his second year in the NFL in 2021. Is it time to say goodbye to the chain gang in the National Football League? The NFL announcing yesterday they will test Sony's Hawkeye technology for measuring first downs during some preseason games this year. Donnie, a loud groan. What is your assessment? Are you going to be nostalgic for the chain gang, or are you happy they are keeping an eye on the future?
I got to be true to myself, which, again, which means I'm going to contradict myself, of course. But if we are looking at the chain gang here, there is something sentimental that I am going to miss, because we all love this, where one side is the chain gang that's official. The other side is just you eyeball it up. Now, when the official chain gang runs out there and it's really close on a fourth down, on a fourth and inches, or even a third and one to see if you've got that first down, there's something interesting about seeing the chain getting stretched out and placed down, the anticipation of the crowd and the players to get all upset and happy at one time. Case in point, Steve Spurrier a couple years ago, where they really messed up the chain gang in that ball game and he lost his mind. Like, we're going to miss those type of things. But also, I do love technology. I'm a big technology guy, and I scream every day at Major League Baseball, take the umpires out of the game and just go to a robo-ump. We never have any issues again. And I always just bring up, you know, it's the NBA. Imagine they have a three-point line, and this was up to the refs each night to call a three-point shot however they saw fit. It's sort of, for me, I'm 50-50 on this. Yes, it speeds it up, but there is something about the chain gang and the anticipation of a close play where they come back to measure where inches mean you win that game or could possibly lose that game. I don't know if I want to miss that, Ben.
The infamous index card to decide if the chain was correct. The measurements so that good. We have where we zoom in on the ball and you stretch and you pull for as long as you can. Maybe they'll just do that, even though they already know what it is, to bring the nostalgia back to the National Football League. A new rule in the preseason. Of course, the new kickoff rule tonight in the National Football League on display in front of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. We'll have more on the new and updated NFL kickoff rule, NFL kickoff rule for dummies, to make sure you know everything that you need to know and how it will be on display this season. So we talked about this earlier in the week. Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, and getting into a heated exchange during training camp this week for the New York Jets. Garrett Wilson was on the Up and Adams show yesterday on FanDuel TV and said this, quote, I haven't always been able to have conversations like that with my quarterback, so I don't take it for granted. We're both trying to build something, end quote. All good? Non-issue?
Non-issue. Wide receivers and quarterbacks do this all the time. Every time I was in a huddle and I heard a pass play that was supposed to come to me, I stared while the quarterback read the play directly to me, literally telling him telepathy? What is it?
Yeah.
Telepathy. What's the word I'm looking for?
Telepathy.
Yeah, telepathically. Telepathically.
See?
That's what I want. Give me the ball.
Continues.
I want the ball. Yeah.
Take it to the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Today is a special day here on Sports Grid, not just because it is the first day of a new month, and that month means football with the Hall of Fame game and the first preseason game in the National Football League tonight in Canton, or that August means college football. But today on August 1st, we can make something official, and I hope this does not get me in trouble with the Sports Grid management team. It's Ben, it's Donnie, and it's one of our favorite all-time guests here on the Sports Grid Network that is no longer a guest. She is our colleague. We welcome on Casey Hudson to the early line on her first official day as an employee at the Sports Grid Network. Donnie, let's give it up for our colleague and coworker, Casey Hudson here. Casey, we are so glad to have you as a part of the Spiz Grizz Network, and of course, glad to have you here on this Thursday.
Oh, I'm so psyched. And apparently this means that I get to deliver merch in person. So the Tampa Bay Lightning that I've been promising forever and ever. I was just the deliverer. That's why it took so long. So I'm so psyched to work with you guys. Even more, now I'm not just a guest that you have to put up with. It's all day, every day, gentlemen.
It's going to be wonderful thing. Oh, go ahead, Donnie, please.
I hope you are so good on this network, Casey, that they don't allow me to show up between 8 to 11 a.m. every morning. How about that? That's the best compliment I can possibly give. That's how good I hope you are.
Oh, I'll give you the reprieve, Donnie, I promise. Especially during
Casey, one thing you'll find out about your new colleague, Donnie Wrightside, is that any bit of celebration or ceremony, he will try to make sure he can selfishly use to his own gain. So if you want to take over on the morning show and he doesn't have to wake up as early or go to bed as early, he would be very, very pleased.
I got you covered, Donnie, I promise. Here and there.
We need the info behind the scenes. We need to hear more about what your schedule is going to be. What I know right now is that you will be involved, of course, with all of our football coverage throughout the fall. We'll get into that a little bit more. So with that football coverage comes your football knowledge. And it starts tonight inside Canton, Ohio, the NFL's Hall of Fame game to kick off a new preseason. It's the Bears. It's the Texans. Of course, Casey, we give the caveat and the disclaimer. No, we're not going to see Caleb Williams. No, we're not going to see the reigning offensive rookie of the year in C.J. Stroud or any of the starters, really, on either side for Houston or Chicago. But it still is football. And it's a 1.5-point spread in favor of the Texans with an over-under of 31 and a hook. Casey, what is your approach to the Hall of Fame game tonight in Canton?
I think that with all the momentum going around the reshaping of the Texans roster, of course I see why betting lines are leaning towards them tonight. Also because they've got some younger guys that will probably obviously participate in tonight's game that will have larger roles as the season goes through. So the Texans are one of those teams where I think we'll see a little bit more out of, even though we're not going to see their starters, we're going to see some of the depth that's going to play a key role. When it comes to the Bears, though, there's a lot to be excited about. Obviously, there was a lot of drama around the quarterback conversation, but we really just need to see if that breath of fresh air with switching out their quarterback, taking Caleb Williams, has generated throughout the locker room. And regardless of your starters being on the field, that's something that you'll be able to tell from the energy tonight. And again, you want to see what the depth is going to hold in these rosters as they go through the season. You got the Bears opening the season, not really going against divisional competition. You've got the Texans that probably have a bit more of a weight on their shoulder after they surprised a lot of people last year. So I think it's still going to be quite a game. And obviously one of my favorite players is now being inducted. So much to look out for tonight.
Evolution of the NFL preseason typically changes every couple years. It used to be like they had 6 to 7 preseason games down to 4. Now we see 3. So it's great to start on, I guess, the morning of the first preseason game. Let me ask you a question about this, Casey. What do you get out of preseason football? Because even if you go back 20 years, you know, the teams used to play starters week number 1, week 2, week 3, then take off week number 4. Do you take anything out of preseason now than maybe just a couple years ago that you used to your advantage during the regular season?
Yeah, it's gotten a bit difficult not being able to see the starters and kind of seeing what rosters are actually going to generate to. But kind of just touching back on that depth situation, you know, we've seen so many. I feel like every year we talk about how many injuries accumulate in the beginning of the season, and it seems more dramatic season by season. With that said, though, you want to see the guys that are going to be able to step up. You want to see their caliber. You want to see their adaption of the playbook. And that's what you're going to see in the preseason. So even though you're not getting your starters, you're getting those backup guys that are probably going to have an effective role or be able to step up and help. Next man up has not become just a cliche thing to say. It's become imperative for each roster to have those guys that can step up and step into those situations at any time. So that's what the preseason kind of shows you. We're going to see a QB battle for the backup for the Bears. They're going to make sure that they have a quality backup because right now they're trying to prove a point that it was smart to go with Caleb Williams, that he is going to be able to translate some of his success from USC to the NFL level underneath OC Waldron. So there's a lot that we have to see in terms of the playbook, what they're going to be going with and running with, and how well those players are going to be able to support each other. And those supporting roles are just as important. So preseason might not be as flashy without the starters, but there's still plenty to look out for in terms of who's going to make it to the long run.
Of course, it was Tyson Bagent last year who started a few games for the Bears, became a quick story around the National Football League, is going to be a star of Hard Knocks as well. He was asked already during Bears training camp, you know, Chicago didn't bring in a veteran backup to compete with you for that backup QB role. How does that make you feel? He's like, this is my job. I'm going to go out there and earn it, like Caleb is trying to earn that starting role in this franchise. So, Casey, let's talk beyond this opening preseason game and the Hall of Fame matchup and the season outlook for both Houston and Chicago. We start with the Texans, maybe the most optimistic team there is right now in the AFC. In your estimation, Casey, as we get ready for 2024, what does success look like this season for Houston?
I've got a lot riding on Houston. Like I mentioned, they were a massive surprise last year. To get all the way to the divisional and fall short to the Ravens should speak volumes. And a lot of those volumes come around, you know, their rookie QB in C.J. Stroud. I mean, he's one of the few rookies to break over 4,000 yards in his opening season. His demeanor, his composure, he was able to come in, command, and conduct a team. And so just imagine the build-off from that. Not to mention is that this was an aggressive offseason for the Texans. You don't get a guy like Stephon Diggs to buy into your roster, to buy into being a Texan, if he doesn't see success in the near future. And I think that that speaks volumes. Also, you got Joe Mixon. Texans didn't have much of a consistent run game last year, so there's going to be a lot on Mixon to kind of get that going and be successful in that asset. So they found the right keys, they found the right plugs, and they shaped their roster beautifully. I mean, this is a team that could really sneak into maybe a Super Bowl conversation. No one bite my head off for that, but it's a great-looking roster. Their defense showed up tremendously last year, and then you get Hunter, and you get these edge rushers that are just going to add that much more pressure. You've got guys that are going to protect Stroud that much more, and you've got so much versatility in that pass catch group that this is going to be one of the most exciting teams to watch, in my personal opinion.
If we take a look at that quarterback matchup, and also there is a lot of, you know, talent, no doubt about it, C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams. You saw last year C.J. Stroud, 4,100 yards passing, 23 touchdown passes, only 5 interceptions. Peyton Manning, I think, threw close to 30 interceptions his rookie year. Are we going to have unfair expectations on Caleb Williams compared to what C.J. Stroud did last year? And is that fair?
I think that there's already some unfair conversations taking place, but you cannot compare the two. C.J. Stroud is coming out of a system that prepared him for pro style and more NFL pace. Caleb Williams is going to have some adjustments. He's not going to be able to run as high tempo, even though the system's going to try to complement him. But I think this is kind of an apple and oranges thing. What you want to look for out of Caleb Williams is his leadership and his ability to adapt to the playbook and let him take this one game at a time. The buy-in is there. Veteran players are like backing him, loving him, supporting him, and listening to him. So I think that's a big start.
Caleb Williams expected to lead the Bears to a winning record, 8.5 the win total. The over has the juice at minus 150. As Casey shared, C.J. Stroud throwing for more than 4,100 passing yards last year. Only 5 rookie quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, including Stroud, have thrown for 4,000 yards in NFL history. Casey's preseason prediction up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The newest employee at the Sports Grid Network, Casey Hudson, is here for a second consecutive segment on her debut day as a member of the Spiz Grid. She has often been here talking about the NHL, but now, as she's going to take a leading role in our NFL and football coverage throughout the fall, we get her early preseason predictions for this 2024 campaign in the National Football League. Casey, I can't believe we're already starting with this on the opening night of preseason football in the NFL, but a Super Bowl prediction from one Casey Hudson. Who is it? Who's the champion of the NFC taking on the champion of the AFC?
I know. Talk about no pressure. I think this is this called initiation? I had to lean with 49ers taking on the Ravens. But as I mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans sneak in there. I know that the NFC, they've got some kinks to work out, and I feel like the 49ers obviously have a bad taste in their mouth after leaving some plays on the field in the Super Bowl versus the Chiefs. I know a lot of sports books actually have a rematch of the Chiefs and the 49ers, but I'm not understanding the Chiefs roster right now. And with some off-the-field issues taking place with some of their wide receivers, we don't know what's going to play out with their weapons. So too many question marks around the Chiefs for me right now. Ravens have a lot to prove. There's only one issue on the offensive line, but I think that Lamar Jackson can wiggle through that, and I like some of their offseason moves. So that's my early prediction.
If we look at that Super Bowl, which, again, two talented teams, no doubt about it. I loved the Ravens last year. I picked them to win the Super Bowl preseason, and I was riding all the way through until the playoffs happened, which typically happens to Lamar Jackson. Fantastic in the regular season. A lot of question marks in the playoffs. And also, conversely, the 49ers, they got some issues they're dealing with now. Brandon Ayuk, is he going to show up and be happy in training camp? Trent Williams, when is he going to show up? So let me ask you this question. I love the talent on these two teams. Are there any question marks that you're worried about between those two teams that you think they might stumble on getting back and or winning a Super Bowl here?
I think the most important one is what you pointed out. Lamar Jackson becomes kind of questionable when it comes to playoffs in those key moments. And my note for this was the fact that teams that kind of left things on the field, we saw the Ravens beat themselves in so many ways when it came to their comparison versus the Chiefs. So that's just something that I can't shake, but that's also something that you can't overlook. So if the Ravens get back into this position and beat themselves, then they're just kind of one of those taboo teams that you can't bet on anymore and you got to let it go. So that's where my biggest concern comes. The inconsistency with showing up in playoffs, but it's really do or die this year. I know that was a conversation last year, but I think this is it for Lamar Jackson to say whether or not he can get his team across the finish line. Those mistakes are fixable that they made last season. Those play calling are things that they can learn from and not make the same mistakes. So that would be my most concern, is that Ravens roster. As for the 49ers, I just think that there's a lot more buy-in over there. I know that Ayuk was requesting a trade, but there's still other talent there. And of course, as you guys probably remember from Super Bowl, I'm still expecting a lot more out of Kittle. He did go through last season banged up and not fully 100%. So I think that speaks to kind of his inconsistency throughout the season. But he's going to have a point to prove this year. It cannot be the Christian McCaffrey show all over again. So that's where my hesitation lies with the 49ers. Is it going to be all on Christian McCaffrey to get the job done? And is George Kittle going to show up and help be an alleviator for Brock Purdy? We saw such great bromance between the guys, and we started to see some good magic manifest between them, but that has to come back this season. We didn't see much of it last year.
A couple of tabs to be paid, perhaps, by the Bay. Brandon Ayuk at practice yesterday. There was some video of him walking around the practice field, shaking the hand of general manager John Lynch. Might there be a contract update in San Francisco very soon? And, of course, the veteran left tackle and the best in the game, the only offensive lineman rated a 99 in Madden. That's Trent Williams, who wants an update to his contract as well in San Francisco. The 49ers, as you saw, a co-favorite to win Super Bowl 59 alongside Kansas City at 6-1. How about the team with the fourth best price and the second best number alongside Philadelphia in the NFC? That's the Detroit Lions, also on Casey's NFL watch list for 2024. The Lions, who won a divisional crown for the first time in three decades last year. The Lions, who won an NFL playoff game for the first time in 32 years a season ago. Casey, what are they going to do for an encore this upcoming campaign?
I know. When I was submitting these, I was like, low-key, I can see a Lions-Texans Super Bowl. But I'm Team Campbell. I mean, again, another team that just kind of beat themselves in unfortunate ways, and that's not to take away from how well their opponents played, but If Don't Stop Believing didn't push the 49ers across the finish line, then we would have been seeing something completely different this past season. You've got Goff, who's just, I mean, I don't think he gets enough credit for the way that he stepped into his role with the Lions, especially with all the conversations and headlines taking place around him that we thought was going to distract him. Now he's a married man. He wants to grab another ring. I see that this team can kind of rally together behind him. The weapons are there. The roster structure stayed intact. And the buy-in with Campbell is just tremendous. So this is a team that really can kind of march through and be a commanding presence. They might even have a more flattering roster, depending on what happens with certain players on the 49ers, than the 49ers. So there's a lot to love about the Lions team here. This is why I have them as a watch. I don't think they were a surprise last year. I think they were a surprise the year before, and I think they're going to live up to the expectation and the hype. They're staying quiet right now, which is one of the most lethal things you can do, having the roster that you have and having the head coach that you have to pull through.
By the way, we've seen some big offseason moves, and typically we talk about players and head coaches, but maybe two of the biggest wins in the offseason were Ben Johnson staying with the Detroit Lions as an offensive coordinator and Bobby Slowick staying with the Houston Texans, which leads us into our next thing here, the MVP award. I mean, maybe Patrick Mahomes, is it going to be one of the superstars that we know about, or is it maybe one of those young upstarts that had a great rookie season last year, Casey?
I'm going young. I got to go with CJ Stroud here. Again, they did so well manipulating a roster to help him take the next step in his career. I just can't picture that he's going to have much of a drop-off. Does that add additional pressure? Absolutely. But now you've got, I think he's got four or five different pass catchers to work through. And to think of how he handled his roster last year, not to mention is that as a rookie, his third down management and consistency with that is just speaks volumes on its own. You don't see many rookies come in and manage third downs. Veterans still struggle with it, so he's proud for me.
Casey is still here for some Puck Talk in the summer next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Casey Hudson's expertise knows no bounds. She will be a part of Sports Grid's football coverage around the National Football League, some college football as well this fall, now on her first official day as a Sports Grid employee. So we're very glad to have Casey here for all of this final half an hour of our second hour. But of course, Casey has long been a great guest on this network with her Puck Talk knowledge around the National Hockey League, and I cannot wait for this segment because of one name that I see here in notable offseason moves for Matvei Michkov and the Philadelphia Flyers. But I'll let Donnie ask about that. Casey, we start at the top. The San Jose Sharks draft Macklin Celebrini first overall out of Boston University. His dad worked in the sports medicine side for the Golden State Warriors, so he knows Northern California. Maybe not the ceremony that was Connor Bedard, the prince that was promised, drafted last summer by the Chicago Blackhawks, but still a notable first-round selection and first overall pick for the San Jose Sharks. What do you think Celebrini's instant impact is going to be for San Jose?
Yeah, hoping that he further declares to stick with San Jose. And I'm thinking that their offseason moves may have made that a more attractive offer. But you're looking at a guy that's going to be a solid two-way plug for this team. He makes plays happen. He's not afraid to be physical. And his ability to generate offense and get plays going and find the back of the net, this is what this team needs. You're talking about the worst NHL team last season trying to make more of a push this upcoming season. And they grabbed some great guys to do just that. They've got some depth now on their top six. They've got solid top six guys, that hopefully Celebrini being a part of that. You got Will Smith that showed some strides last year as well. Will, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So I think that he's going to be plugging into something that's going to entice him to bring his game from the collegiate level to the NHL. And I think that he's going to be able to match that pace very quickly out the gate. I'm excited about his pick and his move.
All the excitement about Macklin Celebrini. If we take out the FanDuel Sportsbook right now and take a look at the Calder Memorial Trophy Award-winning numbers for this season, he's not in first place in that awards market right now. It is Matvei Michkov of the Philadelphia Flyers, a dormant fan base in Philadelphia ready to rise and shine. Mitch Koff is here. Does that mean, Casey, the Flyers are anticipated to win a Stanley Cup over the next 16 months? How about that? Not 6 years, 16 months.
I don't think I've tracked a player so hard just for Donnie, but you're right. Mitch Koff was everything. And this kid is ready to, let's say, bring more sunshine to Philadelphia. That's for sure. But I will say that as for them being a Stanley Cup contender right now, not so much. Some of my favorite players that were holding down the back end of the ice for them aren't there. So I just want to see what their defensive structure is going to look like. But they did become one of the strongest defensive teams in the NHL gearing towards the end of the season there. They have a chance now to work with their goaltender and get him more acclimated rather than throwing him in at the end of the season having these expectations. So the foundation is stronger. Their ability to win out is going to be stronger. Maybe make a playoff appearance, but as for Stanley Cup talk, we're probably still looking at another 2 years, but it's great for them to finally have a score because they were able to keep pucks out of their net to a good degree, but they weren't able to find the back of the net themselves, and Mitch Koff is going to be a huge part of that.
There you saw all the individual races and the awards odds. Connor McDavid, the favorite to win the Hart. That's the NHL MVP. Austin Matthews should be tickling the twine all year long. What a list for Donnie personally. Matvei Michkov, the favorite to win the Calder, which is the rookie of the year. Jeremy Swayman, his guy in net for the Bees. One of the co-favorites to win the Vezina. That is the top goaltender in the National Hockey League. Two key departures this summer for Tampa Bay. Casey Hudson leaving Florida to go to New Jersey to join the Sports Grid Network. And Steven Stamkos, one of the icons of the Lightning franchise there in Tampa, leaves for Nashville. Casey, what do you think will have greater ramifications on Florida?
Me. No, I'm kidding. Stamkos.
No doubt.
Hearts are shattered from the Stamkos situation, especially because there wasn't much explanation behind it. There's a lot of things that are just going to be kept flipped tight there. But look, the Nashville Predators might be the new misfits, acquiring Jonathan Marchesso, who's played with Steven Stamkos beforehand. Their top six is just ridiculous. Their defense shapely, their goaltending sharp. So you're looking at a Nashville Predators team that you might want to keep an eye on and maybe sprinkle some change on before heading into the NHL season.
Casey Hudson always giving you those early looks here on the Early Line. And now all across the Sports Grid Network. Again, Casey, welcome to the Spiz Grizz. We are so glad to have you here. Enjoy the move. I know the movers are coming in like 10 minutes, so I'll let you get to that. We look forward to seeing you in New Jersey very, very soon. Hour number three up next on the Early Line.